This morning we'd like to take our text from the book of Psalms 147 and verse 4 and speak on the subject of the relationship of God's knowledge to the salvation of man. We want to bring to you the point that God knows everything about everything there is to know anything about, that God understands how it all works, that God is the supreme God, that He is the one that we ought to put first. He is the one that we need to worship more than anything else. In the book of Psalms 147 and verse 4, the Bible states there that God knows all the stars by name. Now think of this. God knows all of the stars by name. This is a remarkable thing. You know, when I was a boy, I intended to count the stars, that would be a very simple thing to do. But you know, when I started counting the stars, I discovered that there were more than I thought there were. There were many stars, and I could only see a very small part of those stars. But God knows their name. He is able to separate all of the names of all the stars that is upon this earth. What a wonderful thing that is when I cannot even count them. And God knows their name, the Bible says. You know, the Bible states also in the book of Psalms 139 in verse 1 through 16 that God knows all about me. There is no limit to this. God knows everything there is to know about everything. I'm limited in this. I've struggled to learn some of the things that I've learned. I cannot learn all of those things. But God is able to learn them, and God is able to remember all of those things. I think sometimes that I have forgotten more than I remember. Does that ever happen to you? Well, you know, I think sometimes that what we remember is different than the way that it really was. Because this is the way we are. But God knows everything there is to know about anything at all. Just to prove this point, look back in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, and verse 9 and verse 10. The Bible here speaks about the killing of Abel. The Bible says in verse 9, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, "And the Lord spake unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And Cain replied, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And God said unto him, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." You know, the Bible doesn't say that Cain was told on by anybody. The Bible only says that God knew that Cain had killed Abel, his brother. Not only that, the Bible talks about in the days of Israel that Achan stole a Babylonian garment. He stole some gold, and he hid those things, and nobody knew about it. Nobody, until God revealed it unto them. And how did all that happen? Well, the Bible talks about that the nation of Israel, they decided that they were going to capture the city of Ai. It was a small city, but they couldn't. And then they went before God, and they said, God, what's wrong? And God told them to separate themselves because there was sin in the camp. And they separated themselves into the various tribes. And then God called this tribe, and God called that tribe. And finally, that they called Achan up. And in verse 19, Joshua says unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. You know, at this point, I know that God knew about Achan, and God knew about his sin. That's why that Israel could not take the land of Ai. But Joshua did not know. You see that? It's in verse 19 of the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua did not know until he was told. This is remarkable, because God always knows everything about everything there is to know anything about. This is our God. God sees our secret thoughts. God knows those things that we want to tell anybody about. But God knows those things. God knows what you're thinking. God knows what you should be thinking as well. God knows it all. You know, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 15, that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. That's what the Bible says. And then the Bible says in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It was in that time that God destroyed this earth with water. The essential element that we all need much of. God says, I'll give you more. And God gave man so much that it covered this earth with water, and they perished. What we're talking about, we're speaking on the subject of the relationship of God's knowledge to the salvation of man. Here's the thing, is that all of us are accountable unto God and to God alone. We drive this point home, that we are accountable unto God and to God alone. I know that God has chosen people unto himself. We understand that that is so. But we also know that God touches people where they are with his power, with his ability. It is necessary that men trust God in order to be saved. This is a work that is supernatural. Look with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. The Bible states here, and when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Well, that's obvious. If a man owns a sheep, and even though it's a Sabbath day, and the sheep falls into a pit, what man is there that will not have pity on that sheep and lift him up out of the pit? The Bible says in verse 12, Jesus said, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then he said to this man, and see this, read it in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, and verse 13. Jesus said to this man, stretch forth thine hand. Here is a miracle that's going to take place. This man had a withered hand. This man could not stretch forth a withered hand. He could not. All the man could do was to put forth a withered hand in front of the Lord. But Jesus said to him, I want you to stretch forth your hand. The Bible says, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Here's the thing, that Jesus Christ did not ask this man to stretch forth an arm. No, but Jesus Christ said to the man, I want you to stretch forth your withered hand. But it's impossible for the man to stretch forth his hand. Jesus Christ did not say, I want you just to put your hand forth that people can see it. No, Jesus Christ said to the man, I want you to stretch forth your hand. And the man stretched forth his hand. It's a wonderful thing here. This shows the responsibility of man to stretch forth the withered hand. It also shows the impossibility of doing so in the flesh. But believing in the heart and God working in the heart to produce the results that God commanded. Jesus Christ says unto people today, I want you to believe in me. But this is impossible for a person to do. But it is by the grace, by the help of Almighty God, that a person believes in Christ, that a person trusts Christ, that a person is saved. It's not by any strength that you do. This man with the withered hand, he did not have power to stretch forth a whole hand. He didn't have the power to do that. But Jesus Christ commanded the man to stretch forth your hand. The thing about it that we need to understand is that the relationship of God's knowledge to the salvation of man, God knows everything there is to know. And God told this man with the withered hand, I want you to stretch forth your withered hand. And the man stretched it forth, and it was restored whole as the other. What a wonderful testimony this is, that salvation is a work that only God can do. It is impossible for a person to ever do by themselves. But notice once again, in the book of John, chapter 11, we find in this place recorded for us the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. He was out of life. Lazarus could not help himself. When a person is dead, they cannot hear the things of God. You can talk to a person that's dead, and they want to hear a word you are saying. If you don't believe what I'm saying, just remember the last time you were at the funeral services of anybody at all. And this person was laying in the casket, and you could talk to them, and they would never hear anything at all that you were saying. This is the story that I want to read to you about Lazarus. Lazarus had died. His two sisters, Mary and Martha, had waited for the Lord. They had asked the Lord to come, but God had not come. Instead, he just waited there until Lazarus had died, and then he went. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ knew everything that he was going to do. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But notice that he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible states that Lazarus came forth. You think of this, that Christ spoke to Lazarus, and he caused Lazarus to come forth out of the grave. Lazarus was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. That's what the Bible says. Jesus then said, loose him and let him go. This is a wonderful thing. It's a picture for us of the power of Jesus Christ, because he has the power of life. He has the power of death. Jesus Christ is able to raise a lost soul. Just like Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus Christ can cause us, Jesus Christ can cause you, if you're lost, to come to Christ, and Jesus Christ can cause you to hear these wonderful truths that you can come forth from the dead. But it is by the power of God that you are saved. If you're trusting in anything that you have ever done, you're trusting in the wrong thing. You need to trust in what Jesus Christ has already done for you on the cross of Calvary, that you might have everlasting life. We see that our time has slipped away from us once again this morning. We invite you to come again to services at the Independence Baptist Church, 124 South Main, in the city of Forestdale. Thank you now for listening.